T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're going to have Game 1 at Chase Center coming up on Wednesday night, and the man who will be back on the bench, Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, brought to you by Xfinity. Stay connected, protected, and entertained. Steve, welcome back, first of all. How are you feeling? We're glad that you're good enough to be back in the saddle again.
Thank you, Damon. Yeah, I'm doing fine. Fortunately, did not have a severe case. And symptoms were pretty light, but just had to clear protocol and did so yesterday. So it's good to be back.
Well, that's great. What was harder on you, the virus or Game 5?
I liked Game 6, but Game 5 definitely was a tough one to deal with. But it was. It's a 7-game series for a reason, and we took care of our business. We got it done, so I'm really proud of the guys.
I know that your wife tweeted about never wanting to watch an NBA game with you at home again, but it must have been even harder on you, all things considered. The levels of hell that you must be going through as you're watching a Warriors playoff game. I mean, if you had less hair today because you pulled some out, I wouldn't blame you at all. That, even though you've been through this before, I don't think you can be prepared for that.
Yeah, it was tough. It was really tough. Especially in the middle of such a fight. You know, it happened when we were up 2-1. Knowing how good Memphis is, knowing that we were going to have to be on top of our game to beat them, and then for it to happen literally 2 hours before the game. You know, I was feeling some symptoms. I didn't feel right, and I knew I had to test because if I had gotten the players sick, that would have been a complete disaster. And so to find out just before the game was going to start was kind of bizarre. But like I said, it all worked out, and ready to go for the next series.
So all that said, what happened to you guys in Game 5 while you were recuperating at home and making your wife miserable happened to a lot of other teams too in this postseason. Is that, and this is more sort of a put on your league watching hat rather than your head coaching hat, is this happening more often for a particular reason, or is it just blind pig luck over and over again?
Is what happening more?
The number of very lopsided games.
That's a good question. I think, the dominance of the 3-point line has something to do with it. You know, the 2 games yesterday, both blowouts. The teams that controlled the 3-point line just won easily. And if you get blown away, in that category, if your opponent makes way more threes than you, it's just so hard to keep up. And so I think that. I think that's probably the main reason, that and just pace of games these days. There's a lot of shooting, a lot of scoring, and things can get out of hand quickly if one team is struggling.
70 rebounds. 70 rebounds. 22 from Kevon Looney, 11 offensively. The front court alone of Looney, Green, and Wiggins grabbed 48 rebounds. And the reason why this team wasn't on an airplane going to Memphis for Game 7, with all due respect to Game 6 Clay, and there's something special there, and we'll talk about it, but it was the greatest game Kevon Looney's played since whatever game got him a full scholarship to UCLA. I don't know. Like, he was unbelievable.
Yeah, so was Wiggins. You know, his defense on Tyus Jones was great. He hit huge shots in the fourth quarter when we were struggling. You mentioned the rebounding, the 11 boards. I thought Wiggs and Loon were just massive in that game. And, you know, that's what it takes in the playoffs. Your stars have to play like stars, which ours did. You know, Steph, Clay, and Draymond all came up huge. But generally speaking, you know, it's always, especially as you get deeper in the playoffs and the competition's so good, it always comes down to, you know, do you get a couple of wild cards? You know, Dallas gets 25 from Spencer Dinwiddie in game 7, you know, like that. That's kind of what has to happen for, you know, for one team to win. They just have to, they got to play well and they got to get some contributions, some really great contributions from, you know, people other than their stars.
It's probably time to start asking misleading granular questions about the series coming up. So let me start with this.
Does
the fact that Dallas plays at least a slightly slower pace than you guys do generally, does that become a real issue in the series, or is that just a number that really has no meaning once the ball goes up?
Well, I think it matters. I think it's an adjustment that Jason Kidd made with the team this year when he took over. They slowed their pace down. I believe they were 30th in the league in pace. And,
yes.
You know, Luka's a very methodical player. It does remind me a little bit of Houston and the Harden teams from a few years ago that we used to face routinely in the playoffs. You know, shooting at every spot and, you know, dominant one-on-one player and, you know, maybe not the fastest tempo around. So I think they have found a really good sweet spot where they're able to improve their defense, you know, not only through schemes and individual versatility defensively, but by controlling the pace as well. So they've found a really good formula.
How much harder is it to make a team that wants to play slow play fast than it is to make a team that wants to play fast play slow?
Yeah, it is difficult, especially when you get a guy like the, you know, that ball dominant and that that much in control of the game. You know, he doesn't get rattled very easily. So, you know, again, there's a reason they were 30th in pace. It was, you know, relatively easy for them to control that and to keep the game at the pace of their liking. And so they, you know, it's not an easy thing to do to speed a team up.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals Wednesday night here on 95.7 The Game, and you're going to be handling Luka, obviously. How many coaching red flags just start popping up for you as you watch tape on him? Because if we just wanted to concentrate on what he did to Phoenix alone, he outscored their fourth-place MVP vote-getter in Devin Booker. He out-rebounded their seven-footer in DeAndre Ayton. He out-assisted one of the best point guards of all time, and he had more steals than the Defensive Player of the Year runner-up. So he feels about as well-built a young player as maybe the league has seen since LeBron's fourth year, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, he's, however you want to slice it, he's amazing. He's really, really something. So he's unique, and they've built their team around him. But, you know, that shouldn't take away from the fact that they've got a really good supporting cast, and the roster fits really well together. You know, a bunch of three-point shooters. They've got secondary playmakers with Dinwiddie and Brunson, and they got a good vibe. You can just tell they've got a good spirit about them, and you know, that's why they're where they are right now.
We were just talking with Kevin Arnovitz from ESPN, who's covering this series going forward and was watching you guys against the Memphis Grizzlies. And, you know, when we were talking about how you defend Luka with him, the very first thing he said is if he had found the, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, was you never blitz Luka. You don't want to run two guys at him because he can see over everything and he can just pass out of problems because he's that skilled of a passer. Is there truth to that?
I wouldn't say never. I mean, I think that's pretty strong. I think you got to mix up coverages against him. He's too good to just give the same look to over and over again. So I wouldn't rule out, you know, blitzing, that kind of stuff. It's, you just have to go in knowing that there's no, like, one formula that where you're going to say, oh, aha, we got it. You know, this is a series where we're going to have to adapt and adjust game to game, even quarter to quarter. And, you know, he's that good.
Without getting into any details, do you have to do more things that are different against him than you did against Nikola Jokic? I mean, I know they're different players, but is it harder to come up with enough things to throw at Doncic than it was at Jokic?
I think they're actually really similar. You know, they can beat you in so many different ways. Biggest difference is that Doncic has the ball in his hands from the beginning of the possession, whereas Jokic, it was more, you know, he would get the ball eventually, you know, in the pocket out of pick and roll or, you know, whatever it was they ran. But it's very similar in that, you know, they can just beat you a bunch of different ways, and you've got to be creative and you've got to be flexible.
Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. So we saw Clay do it again in Game 6. He's been extraordinary, and he's still not as good as he can be. And it's obvious that Steph Curry, who's had a fine year, is still not shooting it as well as he could. And I'm looking at this, and you talked about how important it is to be dominant at the three-point line to the point where if you are, teams turn into almost unbeatable entities. In a weird way, is this kind of a shooting contest for you guys from here on out? I mean, with all the defensive principles that you preached into this locker room, is this just, hey, guys, we hit our career averages from the three-point line. We're going to be championship.
I think that's simplifying things a little too much. But I think what's important is that both teams have a lot of depth to their shooting. You know, for us, it's not just Steph and Clay. You know, we've got you know, Wiggins and Poole and Porter, and, you know, guys who can very easily have a game where they hit five or six threes. If you look at the games that we played Dallas in the regular season, you know, both teams shot the ball, you know, a lot from the three-point line. So, you know, there will be plenty of three-pointers attempted. And, yes, there's a certain element of truth to, you know, you got to shoot it well to win. But there's a lot that goes into that. You know, and that's our job as coaches. What's the detail that we have to figure out? You know, are we going to make one player in particular, you know, take more threes than another? You know, do we know the spots where guys like to shoot from, and can we discourage them from getting those shots? I mean, and they're doing the same thing on their end as they scout us. So, a lot of detail that goes into that, but yeah, the three-pointer will be a huge factor in the series.
At what point yesterday did you throw out your notes on the Suns?
Yeah, that was shocking. Shocking. I mean, it, you know, two great teams. You know, Phoenix won 64 games for a reason. It was, but, you know, probably halftime. It was like, you, at halftime, you could say, this is not changing. And how crazy is that, given how good Phoenix was this year and playing at home in a Game 7? I mean, nobody could have predicted that.
Do you feel like you've dodged a bullet here? And I'm not trying to give Dallas any bulletin board material at all. Crazy respect for them. But a 64-win team has gone home before the conference finals. That feels significant. Like, I actually thought that the sentence, the Golden State Warriors have returned to the NBA Finals, would be an easier truth to tell than the Golden State Warriors will be hosting Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. Like, that's how assured it looked like Phoenix was going to do that.
Well, I mean, you get to this level in the playoffs. Once you get past the first round, generally, you know, you got a bunch of teams that are good enough to win it all. And I felt like Dallas and Phoenix, second half of the season, were two of the best teams we played and were absolutely both championship contenders. So, you know, and their series won seven games. So, I mean, regardless of what happened, we were going to be in a spot where we were going to have to beat somebody really damn good. So that's how I look at it.
How much better or worse is it to just have seven games or a maximum of seven games played every other day where you don't have to worry about a long break here or a long break there?
Yeah, I think where it comes into play is when you go back and forth, when you travel. I like the fact that you don't have 2 days off in one city. You know, that's nobody likes doing that. You know, we had to sit in Denver for 2 days before game four. It's a strange feeling when you're waiting around in the hotel room. So in this series, it's every other day, which means our travel days will lead right into game day the next day. So that's the biggest difference. You don't have that extra prep day, and you don't have a whole lot of time to rest. And it is a pretty long flight, you know, 3.5 hours or so there and back. So it's like, both teams are going to have to deal with that.
When Draymond asserts himself trying to score, how much does that change things for you guys? Because, God, it feels like it's when Draymond does that, you guys look unbeatable. It's just when he is having a great game, I love the Warriors to win that night. And when he's not, okay, now we got a conversation. But, gosh, when he gets aggressive, it feels like it just opens up. Even missed shots for him pay off.
Yeah, there's a different vibe. You can feel it, you know, when he's aggressive. I love the other night in game six where he launched that three early in the game. And it didn't make it, but it didn't matter. Like, it just set a tone. And I don't know how many shots he took the other night, but he was aggressive. I think he had 14 points. There was just a bounce to his step. He was all over the glass. He was vintage Draymond. That's the best version, the one who is aggressive and, you know, talking trash to the other team and the other team's coach, and, you know, knocking down a three and yelling at the world. Like, that's the guy we love. And we're going to ask him to be very aggressive in this series for sure.
The endless conversations about the number of turnovers you guys commit is only going to get ratcheted up one more time. But how much do you view the difference between a dead ball turnover and a live ball turnover as the thing that actually kills you rather than just the gross number of turn numbers?
Yeah, I mean, you'd way rather have the dead ball turnover where you get your defense set up. The live ball turnovers are killers. So there is a pretty big difference. But I just think as you get deeper in the playoffs, the competition gets better. Every possession matters. And we are going to be a relatively high turnover team. We have been for a long time. And as long as it's measured and tempered, then I think we're fine. We've won championships being a high turnover team. But, you know, it can't be obscene. You know, it's got to be reasonable.
Define obscene.
I think you can see that picture for yourself.
And you know it when you see it. Jordan Poole, we're watching a young man go through a trial by fire in real time. And he adjusted to the NBA. The NBA has made an adjustment back to him. And then it gets even amplified more in the postseason. Was just Memphis getting more physical with him, or were they doing other things through the scouting report that you noticed and you can talk to Jordan about? Or is it just simply, you know, this is what playoff basketball is, and when you come back next year, you're going to have rounder shoulders because you're going to put on 8 to 12 pounds of muscle because you know what the beating is like now?
Well, they got more physical. They put Brooks on him a little bit. Brooks is a very physical guard. But I think the series changed quite a bit for Jordan when Steven Adams got into the paint and clogged things up. Before that, he was Jordan was getting to the rim at will, and it's one of the reasons Memphis made the adjustment that they made, going back to their two big lineup, and obviously they had some success with it. You know, forced us to go back to our two big lineup, and we were able to, you know, to win the series. But you know, every series is kind of like this. There's adjustments, and you know, as a team you have to adjust, but as a player you have to adjust too. So Jordan is learning all that as he's going, and it's a great experience.
It's amazing the amount of experience that you guys have collectively in the postseason. I was looking this up today. I really hope Andre Iguodala can join the party again. Should he play again, he'll be appearing in his 35th postseason series. Klay is about to start his 26th. Draymond about to start his 26th. Steph Curry about to start his 25th postseason series. Kevon, 11. Off the top of your head, Steve, do you know how many that you were involved in as a player?
I would guess 25 or so.
30. You'd be the second most postseason experienced Golden State Warrior if you were playing, not coaching, this team.
Well, yeah, I'm glad I'm not playing. I'm glad we got Draymond and Steph playing instead.
Well, I'll tell you, the amount of experience that you guys have, the amount of success that you have enjoyed at this level is overwhelming. We certainly hope it can continue. The ride has been extraordinary. Just the story as it's unfolded has been extraordinary. It's been an awful lot of fun to watch, to cover, and to talk to you. We're going to wish you good luck the rest of the way, good health the rest of the way. We're very happy you're feeling better, and we look forward to doing this again real soon, and maybe even in the next round, shall we say.
I'd love nothing more.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.